We're turning to John's Gospel, chapter 10, and commencing at verse 31. And this opening verse of our Bible reading tonight is not the most encouraging that you ever read. What a startling beginning to our Bible reading. Just think about it. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Just think if that was said about you, how you would feel. And yet this is about the Lord Jesus, the Lord from glory, the Christ who died to save us. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, "Many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of these works do ye stone me?" The Jews answered him, saying, "For a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God." Jesus answered them, "Is it not written in your law, 'I said, ye are gods'? If ye call them gods, unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, 'Thou blasphemest, because I said, I am the Son of God'? If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though ye believe me not, believe the works, that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him." Therefore they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hand, and went away again beyond Jordan into the place where John at first baptized, and there he abode. And many resorted unto him and said, "John did no miracle, but all things that John spake of this man were true." And many believed on him there. Amen. And God will bless to our hearts the reading of his precious inspired word. And many resorted unto him and said, "John did no miracle, but all things that John spake of this man were true." And many believed on him there. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Our gracious eternal Father, remember us now as we take up the book, as we handle the word of life, as we preach Christ, as we tell sinners of their need of salvation, as we plead with them to come to Christ. May the Holy Spirit take over. May he be in charge, directing everything to the salvation of the lost and for the glory of his blessed name. We ask it for Christ's sake. Amen. It is interesting that the Lord Jesus Christ ended his ministry where he started it. He finished here in the wilderness beyond the Jordan, from where 3.5 years earlier, he had started his public ministry. It was here in this place, as we read in our portion tonight, that John the Baptist first announced those immortal words in John 1 and verse 29, "Behold the Lamb of God." And also from this place, the Lord Jesus went forth into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil 40 days and 40 nights. And furthermore, it was from this place he was now soon to go to Jerusalem, from this wilderness area where John baptized by the side of the River Jordan. Jesus will soon leave this area, make his way into the city of Jerusalem for the final conflict with the powers of darkness as he makes his way to the cross of Calvary. Can you visualize the scene? Can you see it with your mind's eye? It was some 3.5 years since Jesus commenced his ministry. It was also about 3 years since John the Baptist put the people of the area to the preaching of the word. He told them about Christ and announced that Jesus Christ was the Messiah and the Lamb of God. The presence of Christ in their midst brings back to their minds. It brings back the words that John had spoken. The disciples are here now at the end of Christ's ministry, and the very place where they were would have lots of memories and would bring back to those memories many thoughts, both blessed and otherwise. And they would remember, as they said to the Lord Jesus Christ, "All things that John spake of thee were true." And as the people also came to see Christ in this place, they would remember John the Baptist, and they would remember what he said about the Lord. And they too testified that what John the Baptist said about Christ was the truth. John the Baptist preached the truth about Jesus Christ. John wrought no miracle, but he told what was right about the Savior. Here is a reputation to be desired more than working miracles. In today's religious world, the working of miracles would be deemed a most marvelous sign of a preacher's divine calling, and people would be amazed at such things. But in truth, it would be no such thing. Miracles are no evidence of a man's godliness. How do I know? Because the Bible says so and demonstrates so as well. Think about the magicians in Egypt. They worked miracles. That is recorded for us in Exodus chapter 7. And in the verse 11, let's read to you these words. "Then Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers. Now the magicians of Egypt, they also did in like manner." What does that mean? They did in like manner what Moses did when he cast, at the command of God, his rod upon the ground, and miracles occurred. It turned into a serpent. and the magicians of Egypt, my, they did likewise. And they performed miracles, ungodly, Christ rejectors, evil, sinful, wicked men, working miracles. No sign of godliness, is it? Not at all. And yet, in the charismatic world today, it is hailed as a mighty sign of godliness. Nothing of the sort. Because even here we read in Scripture of the magicians and the sorcerers even. And what's a sorcerer? A sorcerer is someone controlled by the devil. So who's working the miracle? Satan. So we have to be careful. And Antichrist and his agents also have power to work miracles. If you read in Revelation chapter 13, verse 13, it says, "And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire to come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell upon the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, which had the wound by a sword." And we can see that this is certainly no grounds for believing that miracles and signs and wonders and all these things that are made to appear in so-called religious meetings today are of the Lord. They could be very, very far away indeed from the things of God. And therefore, you and I as Christians, those of us who are born again, need to be very careful we're not taken in by the magic, so-called, of charismatism. The true test of a preacher, his genuineness, is whether he speaks well of Christ or not. That's the true test. John spoke well of Christ. John spoke the truth about Christ. And that was the acid test. John was a true servant of the Lord, a genuine godly man, a minister of genuine purity. He loved the Lord. He loved the Lord's Christ. He loved to preach the truth. He loved to rebuke sin, and he did. And he rebuked sinners. He rebuked Herod. And because of that, he was cast into prison. He didn't fear opposition. He didn't fear persecution. And then after being in prison a while, Herod brought him out and had him beheaded. And so John died for the truth, believing the truth, preaching the truth, telling the truth about Christ. He died because of his stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. How many of us today are prepared to go to prison for Christ's sake? How many of us are prepared to die for Christ's sake? John the Baptist was ready for both. Speaking of the Lord Jesus was the sum and substance of his ministry and of his duty. All that John said centered upon the Savior. And he warned the Pharisees and he challenged the Sadducees, but only to advance the name of Christ and to advance the cause of Christ. And as I've said, he rebuked Herod and counseled soldiers and did many things in order to lift up the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul reflects this emphasis in a number of places in his writings, in his epistles. For example, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 23, he says, "We preach Christ crucified." And that's what this church seeks to do. Preach Christ crucified. No gimmicks. Nothing of the modern kind, but the old-fashioned way of preaching. And the Lord sent his disciples forth to preach. Preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. And that's the way for all time. Old time and new times and future times, to bring about the kingdom of Jesus Christ and to extend his cause among men. Not through gimmicks, but through the preaching of the word of God. Let's never forget that. Again, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 2, Paul says, "I determined not to know anything among you but Jesus Christ and him crucified." That was Paul's message. That was the burden of his heart. And little wonder he succeeded in planting many churches right throughout the whole of the Middle East, in Asia Minor, and even in Europe. The Apostle Paul was used of the Lord through old-fashioned gospel preaching to win many to Jesus Christ and to start churches in cities and in towns in a wide area. In 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 16, he said this, "Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel." Mind you, there would be a lot of woes against many preachers so-called today. But may God keep us ever in the old-fashioned path of ministry. In Galatians 6 and verse 4, he said, "God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world." The Lord Jesus is the sum total of theology. The Lord Jesus is the sum total of preaching. He is the truth. He is the way. He is the life. He is the word. He is the revelation of God to man. There's no other. Jesus Christ, the Son, reveals the Father. And he is the way of salvation. There is no other. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being in the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. John, the last of the prophets, like all the prophets before him, witnessed of Jesus Christ. And that's the preacher's business still, to witness of Jesus Christ, to speak of him and to speak well of him, because there's no other message from Genesis to Revelation other than Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, slain from before the foundation of the world. Lord Jesus is the sum and substance of the preacher's ministry. He was of John's ministry. John preached only the truth about the Lord Jesus. We have seen that already. Some speak some truth about the Lord Jesus, but add to the testimony of Scripture, or else detract from that word. There are those who would call him the Son of God, while at the same time exalt Mary as a co-redemptress and a co-mediator. That's not preaching Christ. That's not honoring the Lord Jesus. That's not preaching the Bible. That is heresy. Because we have to remember that Christ alone is the way to God, and there is none other. There are those, again, who would affirm that Jesus Christ is man, but would deny his deity. And vice versa, there are those who would say he's God, but deny his manhood. Today we believe that Jesus Christ is the God-man, the God who became man and continues to be God and man in two distinct natures, yet he's one person forever. That's the person of my Redeemer, the Lord Jesus. And praise God, John spoke well, and he spoke the truth about Christ. In his preaching, he was directed by God's word. When he began his ministry, we are told in Luke chapter 3 that he came with the word of God to the people. The word of God came, the verse says, unto John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness, and he came into all the country round about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. It is only as we stay with the word of God and stick to it that we can expect God to bless. You'll notice, furthermore, he depended upon the help of God's Spirit, because it says in Luke again that he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. John was filled with the Spirit from his birth. Hear what the angel announced to his father Zacharias in chapter 1. He shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And then he defied the notions of men. He wasn't afraid to preach the truth. If we would speak the truth in Christ and nothing but the truth, it will bring us into conflict with the world and bring us into conflict with men and bring us into conflict with authorities. And so it was with John. He gave his life upholding the preaching of Christ. He gave his life upholding the law of God. He gave his life preaching the truth and purity, condemning sin. He gave his life in doing all of that. He spoke the truth to Herod regarding his adultery. He spoke the truth to Herod on several occasions, and on several occasions, Herod disliked it. As a result, he cast him into prison. Herod didn't stop by casting him into prison, but he killed John and beheaded him. And because Herodias, his companion in evil, he had been unlawfully married to his brother's wife, having committed adultery, breaking the commandments of God. And John faithfully stood up to him and told him his sin. He declared plainly who Christ was. Never man spoke more plainly of the Savior than John the Baptist. He has left us many wonderful descriptions and titles which he used in describing the Lord Jesus. Let's listen to some of them. He called the Lord Jesus the Son of God in John chapter 1 and verse 34. And then in John chapter 1, verses 29 and 36, he called him the Lamb of God. What lovely titles. What lovely names he gave to the Son of God. The Son of God and the Lamb of God. And then in John 1 and verse 33, he called him the baptizer in the Holy Ghost. And you will know that as you read John's Gospel, chapters 14 and 15 and 16, that Jesus promised that when he would get back to heaven, he would indeed send the Holy Spirit, and he would come in his place. And that's exactly what he did on the day of Pentecost. And the disciples were all baptized in the Holy Spirit. And they went out empowered of God, turning the world upside down. And many were added to the Savior. And we read in every chapter almost about numbers and multitudes and many being added to the church. Any wonder God moved in such mighty ways in those days. And then he called him the bridegroom in John 3, verse 29. What a wonderful knowledge John had of the Savior. Tell me, what knowledge do you have of Christ? Do you know him as John knew him? I ask myself that same question. When John was able, by the dwelling of the Spirit of God in him, to come up with all these glorious titles of Christ, John must have known him intimately and loved him dearly. Do we know him like that? And do we love him like that? What a challenge comes to our hearts. Where there is such a knowledge and love as John knew and had, and then able to lift up Christ, no wonder souls were saved and drawn to the Savior. If you look at verse 42 of the scripture reading, it says, "And many believed on him there." Don't forget the word there. Where was that? In the wilderness. Beyond the Jordan, an uninhabited place, a most unlikely place to see souls come unto Christ. But my, when the word got out that Jesus was there, the crowds came. They flocked to him, remembering John the Baptist, as I've said earlier. And because of what happened in days gone by, many were at this time now being added to the Lord. Many believed on him there. Oh, what a place it must have been. Desert, wilderness, but God was there. God was there. And that's what made all the difference. And does it matter where on earth we dwell? Where Jesus is, 'tis heaven there. And thank God the Lord Jesus was there. The Lord Jesus is not in many of our cathedrals today. Our cathedrals are magnificent buildings without Christ. without God, without a message. They're preaching another gospel, a false message. Many of our most magnificent church buildings are without Christ. Wouldn't you rather be in the wilderness, in the desert, with straw for a covering, and have the Lord and worship Him? May we pray that God will not desert us. May we pray that God will be in our midst, that we'll feel His presence, we'll know His presence, we'll have the knowledge that He's amongst us, demonstrating His power, saving the boys and the girls, saving the young people and the adults, and bringing men and women to Himself. Many believed on Him there. Oh, may it be said of our place that many believed on Him there. Will you believe tonight? Will you trust in Him? Will you come to Him just as you are, where you are, and acknowledge you're a sinner? The place, as I've said, was in the wilderness. It was in the wilderness. The word of God came unto John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. That's what it says in Luke 2, verses 2 and 3. And then, even after this preacher, John the Baptist, is dead, God still speaks in a day of the Lord's visitation, because John's dead now when Jesus is back in this wilderness. He has been executed. But because of His faithful testimony, He's still speaking in that sense. And souls are being added into the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Thank God, down through the years, for great men of God, faithful servants of Christ. Think of C.H. Spurgeon. Think of the Puritans, Thomas Watson, John Flavel, Thomas Manton, Richard Sibbes, John Bunyan, John Owen, many more. They're a long time gone home to glory. But by their writings and the treasures that they have left behind in those writings, we still read them with great profit. And we still take their teachings and herald them forth to the men and women of today. And in a sense, we can truly say, because we preach the foundation of what these men have left us and the treasures that they have left us, that they are still speaking. And souls are being added to the Lord, just like John the Baptist. When men and women flocked to the wilderness, they remembered the testimony of the Lord's servant. They listened to Christ and they believed on Him. Oh, what a testimony. Wouldn't you want to leave that behind you when you go? You don't want to leave this world without a testimony for the Lord. Child of God, make sure you get it into your heart, first of all. Then you live it out. And then your testimony will live and people will remember it. Get filled with the knowledge of God in your soul. Get filled with the Holy Spirit. Get filled with zeal and zest for the extension of His kingdom. And God will bless you. And He'll bless you while you live. And He'll bless you when you're dead. That's the story of the Bible. There's no need to die in fear. There's no need to die with a loss. Praise God, we can die knowing that our times are in God's hand. And God will work out his purpose even after we're gone. That's a wonderful peace and knowledge to have. And so may it be, we'll be filled with such in these days. And that's what it says here. They believed what John had said about Christ. And even though he was dead, now many were saved there in that place, the wilderness. And this is how a sinner gets saved, isn't it? That is what it is to be saved. And many resorted unto him. That is, they came to him. Will you come? Many, it says here, came or resorted unto him and said, John did no miracle, but all things that John spake of this man were true. You can never be saved without simply believing the testimony of the Bible concerning Christ. You have to believe what the Bible teaches about Christ. Otherwise, you can't be saved. And the Bible teaches that Christ is the Son of God, that he loved this world, that he came from heaven, and that he suffered on earth, and that he went to the cross and he died in the sinner's place. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon him shall be saved. And men and women tonight, if you come by faith to Jesus Christ, repenting of your sin, the Bible says you'll be saved. And there's no doubt about that. We believe the Bible's testimony concerning the Son of God. Will you believe on him tonight? Will you take him as your Savior? And ere this meeting finishes, the lights go out and we go away, don't forget what God has spoken to you about. Don't put it out of your mind and away from your heart. But now, in the presence of God, when the Spirit is speaking to you, striving with your heart, oh, please, dear friend, we plead with you, don't put it off, but come right now and put your trust and your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ.